tonight, and it's Give Back Jamaica time. Yes. So this is your sweet, sweet host, the diva, Sister Cecile. Yeah, and tonight we're going to have a ball. We are coming off of a week that so devastating. And we're going to talk about some of that towards the end of the show. But this is the CRS Radio, the Caribbean Radio Show, and it's Give Back Jamaica. Now, if some of you have been listening to me over the weeks, you would have known that Give Back Jamaica, when we talk about Give Back Jamaica, we're talking about giving back to our alma mater, the Crescent Primary School, located in Spanish Town, St. Catherine, Jamaica, West Indies. And long ago, Crescent was considered the envy of the Caribbean. First of all, the envy of St. Catherine, then the wider Jamaica, and then the wider Caribbean. So we now want to put our lovely school back in the position that it was. We want to restore its former glory. And we at Give Back Jamaica are passionate about this school. So far, our efforts have paid off, and we can boast some of the successes we've had so far. And tonight, joining me on this show is a woman who is dedicated, committed to this venture. She dreams this. She sleeps it. She lives it. She talks it. Anytime you hold a conversation with her, it doesn't matter what conversation you're having, she is definitely going to bring up something about Give Back Jamaica Crescent, because this is her brainchild. This is her baby. And this woman is no other than the lovely Dr. Eve. Yes. A diva herself.
For a while, I was wondering which person you're talking about. I got pumped so much.
So I tell you, folks, this is a diva herself. So from one sister to another sister, we have shared so many stories about our growing up in Jamaica, and more so, Crescent all age, and some of these stories, man, I tell you, some of these stories make you laugh until your belly busts. Because we have then a principal called Mrs. Irvin. Mrs. Irvin was a disciplinarian, and those persons who have gone to Crescent all age in the 60s, they would have had bold and massive encounters with this woman. This woman was stern. Just thinking about this woman, just looking at her in your eyes now, even when she was old, I mean, she walked upright. She walked upright. Mrs. Irvin was the talk of the town. There are so many firsts that this woman generated. And I don't know so much about Mrs. Irvin like the diva, Dr. Eve. So... I want her to open the show just by telling us about Mrs. Irvin. Go ahead, Dr. F.
Well, thank you so much, Tasha, for inviting me. And I am just always so thrilled to be here. Kind of sometimes one accord. Not kind of sometimes, always one accord. Although we went through Crescent at different time, the story is the same. Our life in general, a little bit of difference in the age group, a little bit. I think I've
no, but, it's not so much.
Some of the struggles are definitely identical, and I think just kind of give us the point of view, that pivotal area, that understanding, that compassion, that remembering, and the fact that where we are, we're remembering to give forward or to give forward so that we can see the fruits literally in generous and just decide to share what that means. And it is an absolute blessing. When we talk about present in a way, and I can say for the diva as well, is that we're talking about a foundation. Even if our parents weren't equipped to give us direction, we almost get direction from school. And not only we, with parents, them. In a them time, they literally prayed on Babylon like all
because I heard she would discipline the parents also.
Absolutely.
So parents were terrified of her also.
Yes, ma'am. You pick me to come to school on time, and you're there. Miss, and she's always very prim and proper and respectful. Mrs.
Yes.
Brown, why is so-and-so not in school, and why they're not in that, and, So we had that discipline, not only as a student, but a parent also was involved in the discipline. And I think this is what worked well, because there was an understanding, there was respect for the institution. There was respect for certainly Mrs. Irvin and the teachers. So a lot of the things you hear going on in school where, you have combative behavior of students and parents, I'm not saying different people have different experience, but I've never heard of it nor experienced that. This lady, as you said, tough shot, very strong looking, and in her sternness there was gentleness too as well. Very tall, she always tell you throw back your shoulder and you have to stand tall, and you couldn't be slurping. And we have some desks in the school. We don't have the luxury of having that foreboard. I don't know what you would call that. That backrest. We had to sit up straight on that thing. You couldn't be crouching over and, kind of stand up straight. If you're at the playground and you're not playing properly, meaning you're not standing properly or behaving, you will get called out.
She's
going to call you out. Now, in terms of discipline and time, that's a lady again. We have corporal punishment in our days and never feel to really get that leather belt and whoop you. And she was that person. We had school starting 8:45. 8:45 is a lineup out to the gate. And you used to pick me a canter coming, trying to catch the school gate before it closed, before the lineup starts for the bell. Here's one thing that we had to go through. First of all, although you were poor, and we're talking about poverty, it was pervasive. At the school, you had some people, students who were, middle class there as well. But a majority, because of the area, a lot of that were very, very poor people, our students coming in, a poor community. And, of course, at those times, we never even think about poverty in that sense. The only thing we knew, we didn't have shoes and a whole heap of things and a whole heap of lunch money and all of that. But I never thought of myself as labeling myself as poor. I never really knew that word. But
I'm going back to Mrs. Irvin. When you got to line up at that gate in the morning, you had to show your fingernails.
Okay.
To make sure those fingernails were cut and them was clean. And
okay.
This is what until today, day I'm sitting, I'm fuddling with my fingernail. I make sure my fingernail is always
clean.
Clean.
Uh-huh.
Yes. The boys... They usually have a pencil, and she would push that pencil through the boy's hair, and you know how a hair are nappy and thing.
Oh,
but,
gosh.
You know, when you put Vaseline or water, although it's nappy, it's supposed to still run through it, and she can just slide it through and pull it out. Now, if she having problem with that, you're going to get whipping for that. We had to, you will have one, if you're lucky, you had two uniforms. But those uniforms, and we wore white blouse at that time and red skirt.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to, is cotton, I think cotton. So it's not
yes,
like.
Yes, it was cotton. It's cotton.
Right. So you had to starch that.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure it's nice and firm and looking good. And so although you did not have much, but what you had, it had to be presentable. Your clothes cannot be dirty, torn. It had to be patched or sewn.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because you know all of that stuff. But and then now. For some of us who were barefooted, no problem with that because, you know, we probably was barefooted.
Yeah.
But you're shy.
Yeah, those kids then who were walking barefooted, they never felt shame because others around them were walking barefooted
yes.
too.
Yes.
So it was
yes.
just like a
yes.
normal thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So either you shine up your foot. With some Vaseline, coconut, not even Vaseline so much,
coconut
but coconut
oil.
Because your mother would have grate a coconut, oh my gosh, that was hard, rough. Grate a coconut on Saturday or Sunday, and that coconut oil is supposed to last with cooking for the week. And
mm-hmm.
then the coconut oil now, you use it to comb your hair, and you use it to shine you up.
Yes, man. That's how your face shine. Because when your mother's when the mother's finish, especially for the girls, and she finish combing your hair, giving you some
mm-hmm.
big doodle plaits, and then she take mm-hmm. your face and the oil from her hand, she take her hand and she wipe down your face.
I
and
put down your face.
Shine,
yes.
Shine you down. Shine you
up.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, Dr. Ev, those were really, really grand days. I mean, we didn't have much, or should I say people didn't have much, but they were happy. And you talk about Mrs. Irvin, you know, doing beatings. Nowadays, you and I know that if you put your hand on a child or even tell a child that you're going to slap it or whoop it, then guess what? You're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, gone are those days when people, teachers back then used to whoop your tail and discipline you, and you fell in
mm-hmm.
line.
Mm-hmm.
It's those things are gone.
Absolutely. I think at the time, this is what we knew as
we
the
knew,
people.
Yes.
This is how the culture was, and there was a trust between institution
and
you as a parent to know that if the teacher really whoop you, instead of you going to school and asking teacher, "Why you lick my picnic for?" She will, if teacher, you come home and you complain, you get beaten. She would say, "You have, what do you do?" Instead of talk about it on the opposite side.
Yes.
They would ask, "So what did you do? Why you get a beat?" Because teacher beating you, you have to have done something. And you don't mind sharp, you get another beating again on top of that. This is, in some cases, you know, we're human beings, and sometimes teacher wasn't necessarily fair.
Fair, yeah.
And
the teacher, wasn't
teacher
fair
didn't
sometimes.
Like
yeah.
you, exactly,
mm-hmm.
if teacher didn't like you, you know, you get a harder whooping more than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a discipline, a respect that the institution is a part of the community that we have to grow a child.
Uh-huh.
You know? So
yes.
a parent wouldn't get bent out of shape. I mean, if that ever happened, something terrible would have had to happen
where
a parent would come to school
because
if a teacher would hit it.
As you rightly said, back then, parents, you know, trusted teachers, you know, to take care of, you know, the child that they sent to school. It was an expectation. And teachers back then did very good taking care of people's kids. Because,
you know,
like we're all humans and they're not always nice teachers. But the average teacher, you know, it's like somebody born with that mothering quality. And it takes mm-hmm. me right back now to our present situation at Crescent, where you have Mrs. Naughty and Mrs. Lewis. They act so much like mothers to these kids. And I raise mm-hmm. up with these ladies because the job that they do, it's effortless, you know, and it's just who they are, mothers.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the expectation parents had, that mothering quality. Yes. This is a CRS
totally
Radio, the Caribbean,
with you.
CRS Radio, the Caribbean Radio Show, the Knowledge Station, and you're listening to us at Give Back Jamaica. And on the other end with me is Dr. Ev. And we're talking about giving back the Crescent. Now, if you're listening to me, we need donations. We need your contributions, your help to make this venture shoot forward. So I am asking all of you who are listening, whether you're listening in the right now on the live show or you'll be listening in the archive, please go to givebackjamaica.com and please make a donation. You will thank yourself for doing this, and these children will be thanking you for doing this for them.
Yes. You know, just listening you say that, it kind of brings back a kind of I get emotional when I talk about the school, you know, and
I know
thinking
that.
About
mm-hmm.
just thinking about, you know, what a donation can do for a child.
Mm-hmm.
Especially now when, as I said, when we were going to school, things were different. We did not have the exposure to as much of the world where kids would see they're going to school and they have the most designer clothes and shoe, and you know, life is so different now. Our world is expanded, and as human beings, we kind of want to look on the other side to kind of validate who we are or aspire to become who they are. And as children, you cannot comprehend a lot why you don't have a Nike as opposed to a little regular cheaper shoes. So you have self-esteem and all kind of things start to seep in when you watch those television. Now, when I was growing up, I never had television. me. I never had television.
Come on now. Come on now, princess.
No, no television. No,
no
television at all.
We
as a matter of fact, later on, my neighbor had a television, and a little black and white TV, because where we live in the gorge. And aside from not having, just not having the money to buy a television, you, because you're in the gorge, the reception was very, very, very poor. So you had to have a long pole of 200 feet, a pole. I remember my neighbor had that pole, the antenna, in order to pick up. And he had to turn it, you know, turn the pole sometime when you couldn't get a reception. It was set up in such a way that you could turn the pole in a direction in order to pick up
the
good
reception. Viewing, good viewing, yes.
So I didn't have, and in those times, we only had shows like Granny, Horse, there was a show named Horse and Bananas, and he didn't, he only turn on his TV when the show will come on, because he can't afford to turn on TV, because then time electricity was high, so if you've been burning the TV, like, oh, we turn on the TV. Now I don't even turn it off, period. That was...
And then you had television
that starts from, at that time, I think 6 o'clock or 8 o'clock till midnight. So you didn't have a 24-hour television.
Then it's sign-off.
It's sign-off.
And all you see are those colored lines going up and down.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so
you're
the influence wasn't like you didn't see the influence nowadays. Where in Jamaica now you have as much television station down there as you have in the United States. Plus you have cable, etc., etc. And immigration and migration is all now easy. Somebody can go take a plane, have enough funds to take a plane, go to anywhere they want now, you know, more frequently than before. So we transport culture back into our community. So a lot of things that you see, you as a child, you strive for it.
You see somebody come with a nice book bag or nice shoes, you're going to wonder why your parents don't have and cannot afford that one. And there you have the kind of a problem we see in Jamaica. And this is why our Kickers Club was so, and is so successful, and is so important.
Talking about Kickers Club, hold for a minute for me, Dr. Abe. Talking about Kickers Club, I want you to tell our listeners, tell our listeners about the Kickers Club and the success that we've had so far with the Kickers Club.
I certainly am delighted to say that. Just giving you a little background, as we talked about, not able to, I myself went to school on many occasions without shoes. And even the times when I had shoes, it was, we had some special shoes, rubber shoes at those times, which was really, really, really uncomfortable. And then we have a regular crepe where we have to use whitening, and we never ever talk about
whitening, white crepe.
We had to put whitening on it. I don't remember we ever talk about that. But
no, we've not. We've never talked about no white crepe.
No white crap on whitening.
A white lid.
These guys don't know nothing about whitening.
Oh, my goodness.
But in those times, even when you have a pair of shoes, it
it was just minimal. Just have something on your foot. I mean, nothing extravagant or anything like that. But as we said before, we never knew certain things because everybody around you, what they were wearing was almost the same thing because everybody usually buy them shoes from Bata.
The same place.
Everybody had the same kind of shoes. And I can remember every single pair of shoes that I have gotten. Every single one of them. Every single one. So just to show you how very little shoes we had and how important those shoes were so till you can even remember them. Every one of them. Every single pair of shoes. So what I think about, I remember the days when we did not have. Since times have changed, but economically, it is probably even worse. The society we live in is not as forgiving as the one we were. So we, as a board, Give Back Jamaica, we came up with the idea to provide a child with a pair of shoes. Hence, we call it the Kickers Club because we really wanted to make it fun and having the you know, kickers, you know, walking and splashing your shoes and so on. So folks who were able to donate a pair of shoes would have a one star in the Kickers Club, two pairs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. As my wonderful friends say, piece of metal.
So yes,
gold, platinum,
silver, silver. Yes.
To go up.
Yes.
So that made it fun. So we kind of made it fun. And I want to thank you guys, our listeners. Never been to Jamaica. Do not know Crescent. Do not know these students. And you came in for us. It was our first Kickers Club effort, and it was a success. Now, I can tell you to all of the story, and maybe I'll hand it over back to Top Shelf, and she can tell you some of the stories and the feedback that we got back. But we were able to fit. And the key word here is fit. We don't just take a pair of shoe and ask a child, what size shoes you wear and look for a pair of shoes for that particular size and give it to them. No, we don't do that. And how we found out that if you are not a person who is used to having shoe, you don't know what size shoe you wear because you so infrequently buy a pair of shoe. And when you go, you just ask them to give you a pair of shoe. And,
that can't
you know,
fit
you. Yeah, what can't fit you? Exactly.
Or exactly. Dr. Ed, your mother might draw your foot on a piece of paper.
Exactly. And that's how you do. And whatever shape that is, and just not even thinking about what pair of shoes. So what we do, we want to do this gift that is going to give dignity and pride, and I hate the word self-esteem, but if that's what we want to call it, give a nod of self-esteem. Sit them down. Just like you go in the store, we make sure each person, each student who get a pair of shoes, they are fitted well. And make sure those shoes fit the person, the kid. We were able, in our first effort, to get 288, I think it's 288, I would say about
500 pairs.
Pairs.
So I want to really thank you guys. And we have started, donation has started coming in. I know you top shelf. I mean, you have a lot of friends who are responding because this year, with the effort of all friends, we are going to do 1,500 pairs of shoes. Because
yes,
it's not ever the island, so we are pioneering the great stories that we've heard, and other schools have reached out to us and say, wow, we have a big problem, especially up in the deep country areas. And they're asking us to please to reach out. So, folks, if you're listening, you know, this is almost like a celebration to be able to get out there and be going from school to school. And I cannot wait come August, round about August there, just before the September term, July, August, would be our next effort to be presenting from school to school. Right now we have about 5 schools on the list, and we want to kind of keep it that way because we don't want to overextend ourselves. And this is going to be just awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome for a child to listen. I wish that some of our listeners could see a child's face when they get a new shoe.
Like the ones we saw in September, the ones we saw walking away with their shoes. You know, the ones that we saw leaving the old pair that they wore and walking away in the brand new pair. So, you know, these are the situations we're talking about, the smiles on these kids' faces as they walk away with their pairs and pairs of shoes, you know. I mean, and these shoes, I'm telling you, these shoes are not really no fool, or no thank you, according to Jamaicans. No thank you, nothing. These shoes are very, very good shoes. Very, very, very good shoes. I see my board lighting up. The number to call in is 661-467-2407. And if you want to join in the conversation, you just dial 1 and we'll see you. So, yes, Dr. Ev, the Kickers Club, that, you know, that's one of my favorite so far. And I may not have gone to school, you know, without a pair of shoe on my feet. But I have seen it, and I can just understand or feel, how it feels to be walking barefooted. At that time, when I was in school, the road, we got new road, new asphalted road, and the asphalt hot. The asphalt hot. So I can just imagine a person walking on the hot asphalt, you know, what it would have done to their feet then. So this is why I am so passionate about this Kickers Club. Because for you to be wearing a pair of shoes, for a child to be wearing a nice pair of shoes, I know that when I went to school and I didn't have a nice pair of shoes on my feet, I got teased. And had it not been that I was a strong individual, I may have fallen back in my class, you know, fallen prey to, you know, being bullied and say, okay, I don't want to go to school, or I go to school and I don't want to learn. So these are situations we are barring these kids. We're helping these kids, you know, to learn in school, to stay in school, because not having a simple pair of shoes on the foot will allow you to want to stay home. And not these kids nowadays, they're not going to go to school barefooted. I can tell you that.
No.
They're not going to go to school barefooted. So this is, again, helping with the children's attendance or the child's attendance to school. Because
the marvelous thing about, and I'm sure you can attest to this as well, when you going back to school, 7th, normally, I don't know why I always remember the 7th of September. When you going back to school,
The first week in September.
I'm always remembering the 7th, whatever day, when that Monday first. And you, over the week before, the weekend before school, you always going to look on your new uniform.
Jamaica, you know, happy for the for this opportunity to be able to think about your past school, and as you rightly said earlier on in your argument, there are other schools who are calling and asking us if we can also, you know, help with whatever situations going on at their school. Give a child a pair of shoes, give a child a tablet, give a child a care packet, sponsor a child. And all these things we are aspiring to do. And we need your help. We need your help, please. We need help. Because each one, help one. And that is what we're aspiring for, helping each other. If you and I had somebody to help, somebody a foreign, so to speak, to help us along the way while we're growing up, probably we'd have reached much, much further in life. You know, a auntie or a uncle or a cousin can carry a pair of shoes from foreign come give you, and, you know, you're good in nice, a nice backpack on your back or a nice over the shoulder bag, some nice socks, some nice clips to your ear. Oh, my God, it would have made such a difference. But you know that you and I had to do it for ourselves. We had to go climb aki tree, sweet sap tree, mango tree, and go look fish and all them something, that river, just to get some money to help us to be able to buy our school supplies. Because I remember when school near to open, as a matter of fact, a school closed, just start the thing. You start go look aki because it's in the summertime, so you have all the fruits come alive in September. In the summer, you have the guinep, the mango, the jackfruit, the sweet sap, the soursop, the star apples, and all different kind of mangoes and the sugar cane. So we had to go look aki, climb aki tree. And when we climb these aki trees and get our aki, we string them up on the stick and make them look fancy. And then you walk out to the main road, the road that takes you from Spanish Town through Bog Walk up into St. Anne, that main road there. We stand up at the side of the road and we sell with aki. And when we get the money, we save it up. And we buy with uniforms, we buy with nice school shoes, we buy books. We buy a pencil, we bought our supplies for school. And come Monday morning when you're going back to school, fresh and nice, because you work so hard to help yourself to get back to school. We didn't leave all of this on our parents. No, I am saying this, but in today's day, that don't exist anymore, because all of these aki lands are now being taken up with housing schemes. All of these things are gone. These kids are not, they'll never experience these things. And these things are something that I talk to my kids about every time we have conversation about Jamaica and growing up in Jamaica. I talk to them about what I used to do, what we used to do, unlike them, what we used to do to make our give back, our going back to school, joyous.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, in the spirit of giving, we are asking, you know, just make a child, you know, comfy. make a child comfy, make a child happy. You know, put yourself in these kids' shoes. I am told that the desk that we sat on, or that person sat on in the 60s and the 50s and 70s, 80s, are the same desk that these children are sitting on. Dr. Ebb spoke about the desk earlier on and how we are to sit up straight on these desks. Now, we want at least to fit out a classroom with state-of-the-art desks that these children don't have to sort over. The desks that I know at Crescent, I heard they have some big nails holding them together. You know, we used to abuse those desks back there because we used to polish them, we used to shine them, and when we sweep, we draw them out of the way. So those desks supposed to be, you know, all mangled now, chichia, eat them down. We want these kids to be comfortable in their classroom. Yes, some of you might say the government needs to do this, but no, the government is not going to do all of this. We have to help. We have to take, as the saying goes, take your hand, turn your hand, and make fashion. And this is what we're doing at Give Back Jamaica. We are taking our hands and making fashion, and we need your help. Dr. M, we need your help. We need your help. And you know, go to givebackjamaica.com, givebackjamaica.com, and please, you will see there, donate. And when you click on donate, it will drop you down where you see the different areas you can donate to. And also, you will see other. So if you cannot donate the $70 to sponsor a child, the $30 for a pair of kickers or a pair of shoes, or the Bellyful program or the Yellow Bus program, you cannot contribute to any one of those. Just make a donation. It doesn't matter how much. We will accept it. Every mickle, that's my favorite term to you know. Every mickle makes a muckle. So just go to Give Back Jamaica and donate.
Oh, wow. You know, I'm just saying, my fantasy, my dream fantasy. I know we have about, just thinking about the community we have in the diaspora that is connected to Jamaica. Over 3 million people. So a fantasy would be if even 500,000 people would come in and just give us $5. Oh, my gosh, $5. Hey, let's say $1. It could change the entire country. And this, when we are able to collaborate, we're able to come together in terms of donation. One person didn't even have to give $10, just a dollar. But we are doing that in volume. And everybody get the opportunity to be a part of it. You know, everybody gets a opportunity to say, yes, I helped to put a pair of shoes on a child.
I know it would make you feel good. It would definitely make you feel good to know that you put a smile on a child's face.
Well, I tell you, it's even more than feel good. You're changing a life. And it has a domino effect. Can you imagine a single mom or, you know, really struggling hard, and you have a child who really did well in school or is doing well in school and get out, able to get a good job. He or she will help the parents, because I'm a Jamaica. Folks always try to help their help each other. And if a child does well in school, it means the rest of the family
is likely to do better. So this is what you're doing. You're not only giving a child a pair of shoes, you are affecting the entire family. It's almost a domino effect. So you're changing a life, not only of that one child, but their whole immediate family. So this is an opportunity. This is just something, and a lot of, I would also invite Jamaicans here in the diaspora, knowing where you were and how you, if you were from the country or you had a difficult time, and you guys have a student or children here. And some of them sometimes, you know, they can be so demanding. Their shoes have to be in the hundreds of dollars for them to feel like, you know, they can participate. Let them know and understand where you are coming from, how life is, and maybe they won't be so demanding. And invite them to give a pair of shoes and say, well, Mom, I wanted a Nike, but can you donate a pair of shoes? And I will take a less expensive shoe so you can give back to some of these children. Those are good lessons. Those are really good lessons. So if you a church, you're a member of a church, this is something that you can talk to your pastor or the leadership of the church to say, hey, can we sponsor some pairs of shoes for deserving children in Jamaica? If you're at your office, you can ask your organization. We're a nonprofit organization. Give Back Jamaica is a nonprofit organization, and we're registered nonprofit organization. So you know where your funds are going. We're about getting on 501c3, which would make it federally, where you would be able to, if it's a big, large company, get back tax. You can do it for your tax liabilities. You know, you'll be able to get a tax credit on that. And I know a lot of people like that too as well. So we're coming up to that as well. But in the meantime, just your small donation does go far off. And our Kickers Club is a great way to help. But we have some real situation where students are not able to come to school, not because only they don't have shoes, but they don't have food in their stomach. And we have our bellyful club, where you would be able to sponsor a child for 1 month, one entire month, for $25. We'll be able to use that to help feed a child a lunch for 1 month. So it's a whole lot of opportunity. A whole lot of opportunity is here to get involved, get your community involved, get your family involved. We have our sponsorship program also where we have identified several students who are really in need. This year, since 2020, end of 2020, this has been extremely difficult for a lot of students in Jamaica to cross over to virtual learning. So bad. We're going to be losing a generation of students. It's going to be hard for them to catch up. So because this virtual learning, they have new equipment, which costs a lot of money. that these parents were never even thinking about. And that is a laptop or a tablet. A good percentage of them do not have a tablet, do not have a laptop. So this is one area that you could reach out and help us to help them. Some students have not been able to go to school in more than a year, coming up 2 years, because they do not have the means of connecting. Now, if you do connect with a laptop, you also want internet connection. That is another costly thing.
Yes, that's another thing. I mean, a lot of people don't have internet connections. A lot of people, because but Dr. Ev, hold on, stick a pin. You know, even in the United States, a lot of parents have to take their kids to like McDonald's parking lot, you know, some fast food restaurant just to connect to allow their kids. So I mean, if America is America, come to think of Jamaica, how dire the situation is back there, you know. So, you know, we need help. We definitely need help. Hold a minute, Dr. Ed. Let me run some tune. Let me run a music.
Since I was one, she told my mother alone, with the responsibility in her hand. She said it's hard to be and send us to school. She didn't want us to grow like fools. And now I've got to keep thanks for the good things she has done. Oh, mama, I love you too.
Mama.
Yes, what a powerful song. Garnet Seal.
Wow.
The song hold me a while ago. Trust me. The song hold me. I remember my mama. And you should remember your mama too, because we know how hard our mamas worked to make us into who we are. Mamas work hard. I mean, this song, old man, Mr. Garnet Silk, Mama. Let me run some more. Yeah. Let me run some more. Yeah.
All right. That
old man.
Oh, Mama. Mama, Mama. But he died since I was one. Three people, my mother alone, with the responsibility in her hand. She said we'd like to finish and send us to school. She didn't want us to grow like fools. And now I've got to keep friends for the good things she has done. Oh, Mama, I love you too. And I know you love me too. Oh, Mama, Mama, won't make you blue. I wish that every mother was as sweet as you are.
Yes, Mama, you can depend on me. I mean, I never let my mama down. I never let my mama down. No, no, yeah. Never let her down. I know wherever she is, proud of me. Proud of me. Proud of our baby girl, our last baby girl of 12. Proud of me. Yes, Dr. yes, Dr. Ev. Yes, we're going on with this, Give Back Jamaica charity. We're really doing something. And
I think so.
Yeah, we're really doing so. And as you say, we're getting registered, and you know, so that, because a lot of people, you know, will come at, they have come at me, you know, saying blah 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 blah. And who they give it to?
We can't even worry about
them. I have people who are willing to give, and I must give a shout out to all of my friends who have donated or contributed so far. I truly applaud you. Some of them say, okay, I'm going to make it a monthly thing. So I'm looking forward to seeing that monthly donation. But I thank all of you. I mean, I am not going to call any names tonight, but you know, in time, you'll get your big ups. But blessings. Blessings on all of you who have contributed and or donated so far. So, Dr. Ev, we're looking at the weekend that we just went through. What a terrible weekend we had.
Yes, yes, yeah. And you know... Wow, we just realize how this world is changing, how fragile it is. And I don't want to say Mother Nature, because anytime they have all the bad things, they always blame it on women. it's just the nature. We get blamed for sin, and when there is a harassing situation like this, we get blamed for it too. but it is...
I mean, we're living in a different time. Maybe because we're not kind to each other, therefore we're not kind to our surroundings.
Not kind to Mother Earth.
And it's rebelling. You know? And it's rebelling. So you just never know. Today, we had about 80-something degrees here, which normally that is not. That
what?
Is, although this is something that you really want to feel good about, but, you know, it's not normal. So you're taking it and you're looking and say, oh, my gosh, this is really nice, but this is not normal. What's going
it's
on?
Not, that's not normal. I mean, one day you have the temperature at 73, and the next day you have it at 48.
40.
Yeah,
What a drop.
Up and down. Yeah, this is when you have all of these tornadoes and stuff, because the activities of the heat and the cold, I mean, and the drastic drop with cold meeting hot, although I'm not a meteorologist or anything like that, but this is something that is just the norm. And every year, we are seeing it right before our eyes. You have a tornado skipping from one state to four states?
Yeah.
One tornado trip.
Over 200 miles.
Yes.
Oh my goodness!
2,000.
When you look, when you look at the devastation, when you look at the vehicles that just mangled, it's like some force just crushed them.
Yeah, but think about all the lives lost. In this, you know, it's like we you know, you can't escape. It can happen any minute, any second, without warning.
I mean, I look on with horror, you know, at the devastation, the loss of lives, this big warehouse. Especially this candle factory.
I try not to even turn on the television today, period. So I'm not even up to date. It's sometimes you have to back away from it sometimes, because some of the time it makes you numb. It makes you stop feeling and understanding. You know, this is too much, too quickly, and too devastating. Sometimes especially you're around with the children. It's just one after the other. We just had the shooting. We just had this. It is rough.
Yes.
And no wonder why we have the increase in mental illness as well.
Uh-huh.
If you're in a profession coming up, anything dealing with mental illness is really, because all of us need to get centered, because it's just too much. Every time you turn the television on, it's too much. You have, and this is why I am not a Christmas person.
Neither am I.
I like this time of the year because it kind of is like healing almost. It makes you a little bit more compassionate. It slows you down a little bit. It gets you to remember. It gets you to open your arms and open your hands as well. It gets you to connect to folks. And nothing more therapeutic sometimes than a big hug and a nice smile. And I think that does help us, because come January 1, you're back to the same old.
Same old.
Well, by January 1, it really gets tough, because that's the time you have to start look at the bills.
So by January 5, everything, you forget everything.
but
that's it. You know, before that aside, we are in Jamaica, in the music industry, have lost two giants. And I mean, I know when it comes down to music, I know you have some connection to, you know, to that area. So we have the Garth Dennis of Black Uhuru and Robbie Shakespeare, this prolific reggae bassist who died in last week. So just take the take 10 minutes. Take 10 minutes and just do whatever you want to do in honor to these two giants.
Well, I've had the opportunity to interview Garth a couple of times. Black Uhuru, I so happen to know Puma. We worked together too, and she passed many years back. The group has reformed, and still we have that connection. Even just to hear the name Black Uhuru, which we couldn't pronounce at the time. It was just that connection to the motherland and giving us that kind of hope. And that was what that group brought to us. It was a kind of sophistication and revolution, you know, intertwined. That group was, you know, just changed a lot about how we looked at things. And when we talk about Jamaica, another big part of Jamaica is her works collectively in music, through reggae music, that is just spread across all walks of life. The world, the musical world, has just missed some. Well, I mean, the past couple of weeks, we have some real couple of months.
Months, yeah.
We have one of the big, I mean, iconic, Lee Scratch Perry, who I have. CRS Radio Caribbean Radio Show had the opportunity to have one of the most comprehensive interviews over 3 hours with him, which is never, it cannot be found anywhere else, absolutely not. I'm going to be talking to his first wife as soon as I'm able to kind of get a reflection in his life again. We do have, for those of you who would like to listen to that interview, you can just put Lee Scratch Perry, go to CaribbeanRadioShow.com and doing our search, and that will come up in the archives for you. Robbie Shakespeare, one of the greats of the greats, and coming out of Jamaica, the greats. Howard Hughes are the greats of the greats, the greats. It is a duo of Sly. We call it is the twins, Sly and Robbie.
Sly and Robbie.
So you know, you have part of the twinship separated. It's gonna be tough because, for, you know, a lot of groups and people don't stay together very long. And especially in the music world, you know, people, when you look at a group starting out, you know, everybody finding their own sound and want to have autonomy, so they would move away. These guys stood together. You don't hear Sly without Robbie.
Robbie, yeah.
And, yes, and now they're gone. We're going to be hooking up an interview pretty soon with Sly. As a matter of fact, I was supposed to do an interview. I've been trying to get an interview for the last 2 years, and it just never happened with him. He didn't do a lot of interviews. He was more or less, you know, a very, he was a quiet one, you know. You may get something out of Sly more than you get out of Robbie.
But it is important also for these artists to try and make themselves available for good, solid, strong interview, because how they have a different part of our history and music. It is that audio, that live audio, that brings about the history, what is going on, as Marvin Gaye said, what's going on. They tell you what's going on in songs, which, you know, when you won't read a book, you listen to a song. And it's more or less there. Every so often you just get up, you're driving in your car. By now, if it's one that you like, you would have learned the words. And every time, probably, or every now and then, you're sitting around, you're humming the song, you know. So it is important that these guys tell their story, help to get their side of the story in an archive, because we're not really doing a good job at that. Some of the earlier interviews in the 40s and 50s, it's nowhere to be found. We lost a good part of our history in not caring. We don't understand how important that is. I know that I interviewed Barry Biggs some time ago, who usually work with RJR, another big icon too, said that interviews and stuff like that, they were just cleaned off the taping just to make way for a new tape, because they didn't preserve them. A lot of it is lost. And we here at Sarah's Radio Caribbean Radio Show, we're trying to make a solid archive. So if you're out there as a musician, as an artist, please do contact us, caribbeanradioshow@gmail.com, and arrange for an interview. We're not the ones who do the little 5 and 10 minute interview. Hey, how you doing? You know, what you're doing next? What's your next album? We get down.
Okay, get down deep, into it.
Deep down. Yeah, absolutely. Wow, how you feel? You know, how this happened? What was happening?
Yeah.
Who wrote this? How you made it? You know, I mean, real stories. What was going on? We talk about our music. When you look at Zimbabwe, when you look at South Africa, when you look at the Bury Boys in UK, I mean, our music, part of the freedom that some countries have, and even some that we don't know about, when they listen to Bob Marley, they want to get up and do something about their existence. It is the revolution that is in those music. I'm not sure it's the car, the drum, or the beat. I'm not sure. But the music is alive, as one artist told me some years ago. It gets you moving. It gets you into action. And these guys are real ambassadors.
Mm-hmm.
And we honor them. We honor them. Salute them for their contribution to our history, capturing it in our history. We just need for them to talk to us more, too.
Capture
us in song. They help to put us on the map, taking the music far and wide across all languages, all culture, and many miles apart. That's what our music does. These musicians, a lot of them don't have the music 101, the business 101. But believe you me, they know how to capture the heart and soul of people, even if
they don't speak the language.
And that is so true. That is so true. Yeah. How these guys wrote their lyrics. It's just amazing. You know, one of my favorite songs that I whenever I think about Sly and Robbie, that's the first thing that comes to mind, and it's a song about Maxine. I know they say the girl, her name is Maxine. Her beauty is like a bunch of roses. If I ever tell you about Maxine, you would have said that I don't know what I know, but murder she wrote. Murder she wrote. Murder. That's one of my favorite songs. Yeah, man. A pretty face and bad character. I used to love that song. Used to love that song because when, you know, you see a girl and she's pretty and she has bad ways. Mm. Pretty face and bad character. Yes. So I, from I was a little girl growing up, I used to hear about Sly and Robbie. I never hear the name separated yet.
No.
So with the twinship broken, you know, it must be hard. Must be hard.
Yes. And sometimes, you know, as human beings, sometimes when these people upright before us, we don't thank them and celebrate them enough.
In our life, we don't celebrate them in life. But as they take a bow, we're ready to celebrate them.
And we're ready to celebrate them. I think we are strange. How we do things is just really so strange. But, you know, we need to tell these people a little bit more how they mean to us when they can't hear us. You know what I mean? And nod them head and, you know, smile if they have a smile and thing. Now when they just lay down and can't say nothing.
Murder, she wrote. I love that song, man. I love that song. Yes, those of you who are listening to our show tonight, Vibes are nice. This is the Caribbean Radio Show, the CRS Radio, the Knowledge Station. And yes, knowledge is what we give from the station. Now we have still with us Dr. Eva. I mean, I'm my sister, this, you know, I'm a blood sister, but I'm a sister from another mother or another father. But I'm my sister. And you know, we really, really, I mean, along with the crew, along with HB, Auntie Judith, Peter Gay, and a couple of others, Terry, I give back Jamaica. We're really going places, Dr. Ev. And I'm proud of the strides that we've made. Proud of you to be, you know, to conjure up these images and to throw them out and allow us to run with them. And trust me, they are very, very, very positive. Positive vibes. Positive vibes we're getting from these.
You know, when we really think, we're talking about Jamaica and reaching across the world. You know, this is a part of, you know, when our culture and our people are really unique. And this is also, by default, really putting Jamaica out there and giving opportunity to excel in whatever they do. Because I'm sure at Crescent, another one waiting to just pop out as a superstar.
Yeah.
They're ready to take the track and field and move the Olympic to tears. You know, Jamaican people are.
You know, I listened to that girl when she sang at the early Christmas treat. And I listen to the girl, they're such a virgin voice, you know, and there's so many of these people around just need a little push, And this is what Give Back Jamaica are doing, giving this push. A lot of doctors are there, a lot of nurses, a lot of lawyers, teachers, engineers, I mean, astronauts, they're all there.
Yeah.
But trust me to push. The children are our future. And as I've always said, it's not just their future, it's ours too. Because if we nurture these kids and, you know, lead them in the right path, and they you know, they become good, they are, you know, would have done good, it benefits us. Because we can sleep at night with the doors ajar. But if they become, you know, wayward and become criminals, and we don't want this. We want our children to be successful. And this is what we're aspiring for. You know, we just have a few more minutes to go on this show. And I just want to say a big thank you. Big thank you to all who have donated. And to Dr. Ev, I can't thank you enough. I cannot thank you enough for your effort that you have pushed out. You know, I mean, even sometimes when I feel like, just, you know, let me hold back. You are this wind beneath our wings that keeps, you know, allowing us to go up higher, go on much further, continue trying, because it gets frustrating sometimes. It do get frustrating. And I thank you for, you know, being that wind beneath our wings. And I'm going to take this opportunity also to thank those on the ground, Mrs. Naughty and Mrs. Lewis. Two persons, oh, we don't even know them. But guess what? We are together in heart. We have the same mission. We want to get to the same place. We are aiming for the same destination. And we're making good on this. So Dr. Ev, to sign us off, just take over the show and finish us off.
Well, it's always an absolute pleasure just hanging out with you. You trigger some memory of just wonderful times, you know. It wasn't of those, you know, expensive anything, but boy, the memory, them sweet and expensive. And it is just a joy to sit here on a Sunday. I would rather be nowhere else but just hanging out with you and all our listeners. And I wanted to thank you guys. I mean, you know how we can get emotional, but this means a lot to us. And I just invite you to get as emotional as we are about Jamaica and our future, our children. And join us here every Sunday night, the man, and help us to build this thing and help us to change the world, our people, and with all of them struggles, them still now bow out. So you can imagine if we just get a little push, little nudge, all the thing way just nice out. And when we put our big J upon our chest, when we see the people, them are flying in Olympics, although them never have no sneakers, them are run barefoot. And when we see our scholars, them, and when we see our voice here, our voices across the world in the artists, them, boy, oh, my, the pride and joy that it brings to our little island, just making all of this impact. We just brewing them out of Crescent. Just one of the brewing stations. So join us right here on Sierra's Radio Caribbean Radio Show every Sunday. The top shelf is here. Just having some fun.
Just big up yourself, everybody, and have yourselves a beautiful week. Stay safe. Love somebody. Smile in somebody's face. Let somebody know that you care. Thank you so much for listening. Have a good night.